Hey, everybody, welcome in. You are at the right place at the right time. It's Tuesday. It's Speak Up, and my name is Barbara. You know, today's program is with the two candidates competing for your vote to be the Republican nominee on the November ballot for County Commissioner District 2. It's important for you to understand that wherever you live in Bonner County, you get to vote and choose just one of these two candidates to move forward. And they are here in the studio with us today. Asia Williams and Jeff Roberts are here to talk with you. But before we get to them, we have a special guest who's in the studio to remind us all of the National Day of Prayer this Thursday. You know, it's all over America, all over Idaho, and right here in Sandpoint. Youth Pastor Will Bush has the details. Thanks, Will, for being with us. Tell us what's going to happen on this coming Thursday.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Barbara, for having me on and for making a little bit of time for me. And thank you so much to the candidates for giving up a little bit of your time to make some space for me to talk about National Day of Prayer. This year is going to be very exciting. It's been my honor and privilege to get to organize this year because it is the first ever student-led National Day of Prayer to be hosted in Sandpoint. So we actually moved the event. Typically, this event happens midday on the first Thursday in May. And this is the 75th annual National Day of Prayer. And we do it from 11 to 12:30 typically, but we've moved it from 11 to 12 to 4 to 5:30 in the evening so that way students can participate. There will be student-led worship and student-led prayer. We've got several students from many different churches there to lead us in prayer. And I'm just so excited. I feel like this is going to be an amazing moment for us, kind of like a handoff in a sense, as we're raising up young leaders, young people to lead us in faith, right? This is the next generation, and so excited about it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think, Will, you've been on the radio with me before about Riot, Revival in Our Time, and that is a youth-oriented ministry to do just what we're going to do or you are going to do on the National Day of Prayer, get youth more involved, to exercise their faith and to have an impact on our community.
Yes, and I love what the Lord is doing right now in Generation Z and Generation Alpha. We are seeing some teens right now who are genuinely so hungry for a move of God. And I think we are in desperate need of a move of God. A move of God is really the cure to all ills. It's what our nation needs. It's what our city needs. It's what we need on every possible level.
And all of us individually in our hearts.
Yes, absolutely.
A revival. I want to also remind people that Charlene Wright is at every National Day of Prayer, and she has a table that invites you to sign up to be a prayer warrior for one of our law enforcement officers, whether it's a sheriff's deputy or a Sandpoint or Pondere police officer or an Idaho state police officer. You get the first initial and the name, nothing else. All you have is the name. And if you sign up for that and you get a name, then you are making a commitment to pray for that person. Every time you think of them, every morning, this person is at the top of my list. And so I encourage you to, if your heart is willing, then find Charlene Wright and her prayer for law enforcement officers table. It will be there this Thursday. Will, thank you so much. Tell our audience again the date and the time and the place.
Yes, it will be Thursday, this Thursday, May 7th, from 4 to 5:30 at Farman Park. Please be there. This is going to be an amazing time.
Amen. All right, everybody. We're going to take our first break right now, so stay tuned. We'll be back with our candidates.
Do you want safe, efficient excavation without the damage? Call Vandenberg Hydro Excavation, your local experts in storm drain cleaning, culvert jetting, and underground utility locating. Vandenberg Hydro Excavation high-pressure water and powerful vac systems get the job done right. No mess, no guesswork. Safe, efficient digging without the damage. Serving Sandpoint and surrounding areas across Idaho, Montana, and Washington. Find out more information online at vhexcavation.com.
From Boundary to Idaho County, North Idaho is committed to caring for our communities.
I don't know what Coeur d'Alene would be without our nonprofits.
Every community needs philanthropy. They need people to step up and say, I care about this.
Gifts in any amount make a difference.
When Idaho gives, May 4 through 7, Idaho thrives. Join your neighbors and support local nonprofits at idahogives.org. Idaho Gives is presented by the Idaho Community Foundation and powered by ICCU.
Ready to feel stronger, more confident, and energized? At Backyard Kettlebell, you'll learn safe, effective kettlebell training with beginner-friendly coaching in a supportive, non-judgmental environment. Whether you're just starting out or looking to change up your fitness routine, our sessions are designed to help you build real strength that fits your life. Discover how kettlebell training can work for you at your pace with expert guidance every step of the way. 319 Church Street in Sandpoint. Stronger starts here. Backyard Kettlebell.
Bonner General Family Practice is proud to welcome Dr. Dean Kuback to our team of primary care providers. Dr. Kuback brings global medical experience, a passion for whole person care, and a love for the mountain community he now calls home. From caring for patients in Africa to practicing full scope family medicine in the U.S., he's dedicated to supporting every patient with compassion and a touch of humor. We are excited to welcome Dr. Kuback and his family to Bonner General Family Practice and to the Sandpoint community. Learn more at bonnergeneral.org.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down. A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody. All right. Welcome back in. Join me and say hello to Asia Williams and Jeff Roberts. They are vying for your vote this coming May 19th in the primary to be the county commissioner candidate in the fall. All right. We're going to start with you introducing yourselves to our audience. I'm going to start with you, Asia.
Hi, I am Commissioner Williams. I've been Bonner County Commissioner for almost 4 years now. I ran on a platform of bringing the people into local government. I have a background in business. I have multiple degrees, but during my time as current county commissioner, I have focused on finance, budget, and internal auditing. Bonner County community has asked that we take a better look at our budget, and that's what I focused on. During my first 2 years, I worked on becoming an internal auditor. I have focused on risk and reducing our claims, and my position with Bonner County is following the rules, reducing litigation, developing relationships, increasing communication, and bringing our taxpayer money into our infrastructure such that we can grow responsibly. I am running for re-election of the District 2 Commissioner, and it is my hope that through interviews like this and the communication that I put out in the public that they see the positive movements that are verifiable within the county, from reduction in claims to better improvement in our insurance ratings to bringing more communication throughout Bonner County as reasons to re-elect me to be Bonner County Commissioner for District 2.
All right. Asia Williams, thank you for that. Jeff Roberts, introduce yourself to our audience.
Thanks, Barbara. It's good to be back here again. Appreciate it. My name is Jeff Roberts. I'm a Priest River local. Moved back here in 2019 after being gone for a few decades. Told my family when we got back to Bonner County that it was going to be really important that we stayed involved in the local culture to maintain the freedoms that really brought us back here after spending a few decades on the West Coast. I'm a family man, landowner, taxpayer, and a small business owner. I'm a residential home builder. I've been in the construction industry for a little over 2 decades. I've also got nearly a decade and a half of working in the civil construction industry. I've spent most of my adult life volunteering in organizations that are centered on individual liberty and constitutional values. So it's really important to me to stay involved in what's taking place in government, especially at the local level, because that's where you're really impacted. So when looking at things that are taking place here in Bonn, or watching the rest of the country kind of devolve more into an authoritarian form of government, I just really want to preserve that culture here in Bonner County. So I want to see some better representation in the commissioner's office, professionalism. We've seen a lot of chaos over the last several years. I really think it's important that we, with intention, keep government confined in a limited sense, keeping it functional at the county level, and then also recognizing that our rights come from God and not government. And by holding those, you know, in the highest esteem, I think we can go a long ways in preserving the freedoms and the culture that we find really valuable here.
All right. Thank you, Jeff Roberts. I'm going to keep it with you, Jeff. Voters want, you both spoken about it. They talked to me about it. Voters want professional and effective management of county finances, their tax dollars. Go a little bit deeper into your experience that you have in the areas of sound budget management, cutting fraud and waste. And you mentioned civil construction, how that experience with roads and bridges, if I'm correct, and infrastructure feeds into your ability to manage budgets for projects like that, or at least projects the county might oversee.
Yeah, so as a small business owner, overseeing a handful of employees, but also working with potentially dozens of subcontractors, as well as when I was working in the construction industry for the civil side on federal projects, starting in the field as just a general carpenter, working my way up eventually to superintendent, where we're managing multiple crews and individual professionals. Having that ability to network with other professionals and people in the industry trying to accomplish a goal, I think, is really important. And I think we've seen a lot of strife and contention at the county level, with a lot of revolving door turnover. As far as budget management, when you run for office, you know that your personal finances and any missteps that you've had that are public record are going to come out. And that's been pretty clear. We see a lot of that on social media for both myself and my opponent. But I've had to, through some very difficult times in my history, keep my personal finances separated from my business finances. And in making difficult decisions on whether I take care of my own personal well-being and credit, or my subcontractors, clients, and vendors, I've always been able to maintain a good professional standing with my business and in the industries that I've been in.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Asia, the same question to you. Voters want professional management of their finances. Speak to what you do or how you do that.
So I think the answer should be focused on the role of a commissioner. And so the Government Finance Office of Accounting is really what guides how we're supposed to be treating our budget. And so what I did as a commissioner was I took the time to independently become an internal auditor to improve my skills and ability. Although I do hold an MBA, I also wanted to have a greater focus on how government should function. And one of the things that I have done is I have looked at our budget routinely to help reduce waste, to help reduce the unnecessary spending. And so when you're talking about kind of what's going on in Bonner County, I can show that the effort that I put in independently to increase knowledge has resulted in improvement. For example, Bonner County was paying out our HSA benefits in advance. That was a $70,000 a year approximately loss that wasn't discovered because we weren't internally auditing. That's something that we should be doing. When we look at Bonner County's history, Bonner County has an obligation per statute for external auditing. That's the minimum requirement. But where have we internally audited to really take a closer look at our budget to improve our spending? When you're talking about the waste that comes through with our legal, we have had a lot of cases where we could have avoided spending and we didn't. But when you look at what my actions have been, I've been a mediator to reduce the cost, not just to Bonner County taxpayers, but to external insurance companies that we have to work with, who then we have to go and get quotes with. the person who sits in the commissioner seat has to understand Government Finance Office of Accounting information, independent auditor information. There's actually a government form that we need to follow. It's not just a small business form. And my opponent mentions nothing about what actually dictates a commissioner's roles and responsibility with respect to Title 31 and an ability to actively and proactively address the budget of Bonner County.
All right. Would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty important that you recognize that it takes an entire staff to run the county of Bonner with over 400 employees. And as an individual commissioner, I still have two other commissioners that I have to collaborate with to make things happen. We've got the clerk's office with close to 40 employees. So that's going to be a joint effort to run a county of this size with a budget near $80 million. So I think when we bring in limited government accountability to the mindset on how we're voting on issues, on the budget, on what we're allocating funds for, you're going to start seeing savings because you understand that government shouldn't just spend the taxpayers' money on transient causes. And I think we've seen a lot of things over the years that have been wasteful.
I'm going to bring it back to you, Asia, from the next question, and that is keeping it on finances. What have you done, and it'll be for you, what do you intend to do, to reduce overall our county tax burden, if anything, reduce the tax burden?
Absolutely, and that's what I have actually focused my entire time on. And so we can't just – you have to come with some knowledge. So my opponent says there's other people that can help him to understand GFOA, but you have to actually come with some tools. I didn't just come with an idea of the other two commissioners can tell me how to run a budget. I understand Government Finance Office of Accounting. And so while I'm internally auditing, I've addressed – we have, for example, our – clerk's office had an issue where we lost $70,000 and had to pay a penalty to the IRS. When you do a records request for my information to the clerk's office,
is that the $70K you previously mentioned?
No.
Oh, okay.
$70,000, okay. That was a different – I'm going to go through the what I found because the question is what have I done? And so in terms of the clerk's office, $70,000 – that was loss of taxpayer money. I put forward a request that we take a look of when we onboard new people that what we need to do is actually start checking to make sure that they're on point because we went a whole quarter. The $70,000 that I previously mentioned was HSA benefits that were being paid in advance. Internal auditing is what's discovering that we can improve that process, and we haven't been doing that. If you actually look at the Bonner County civil litigation budget, there's a significant reduction in what has been spent because what has happened is a better focus on the rules that guide us such that we're reducing the cost that wastes our tax money, and so we're keeping it in the budget. And so internal auditing, understanding GFOA, understanding Title 31 and the expectations of a commissioner is a necessary component. You can't come into a budget that's over $70 million and say, well, everybody else will help me understand how to manage this budget. You have to come to the table with some skills that allows you to give meaningful input based on the rules that govern.
I'm going to take the question to you. My question is, how would you reduce the tax burden? I know saving money is good, but did it reduce the tax burden, or did the budget still grow? I'm just interested as a taxpayer, is there a way that we can actually reduce, just not be more effective with the money and spend it in a better way. So, Jeff, to you, I'll come back to you, Asia.
Yeah, so I think we really need to look at this on not just the county level, but at the state and federal level as well. Unfortunately, Bonner County has become pretty heavily dependent on grants that come from federal sources as well as state sources. I don't believe that we can phase out all of these grants, nor should we, because they're part of how we run our budget here in the county. But I think there's quite a few grants that we become dependent on that come with strings, such as the ARPA, which my opponent ran very strongly on the American Rescue Plan Act in not accepting ARPA funds from the Biden administration because those came with this contingency that if we did, we would have to abide by all future mandates and executive orders. Watching that ARPA money being dispersed over the last several years has been pretty upsetting. And what that does is gives a nod to the federal government to continue to tax people at the federal level and then return some of that back to Bonner County. When we look at the snowplow equipment shed over in Priest River at the tune of $650,000. 95% of that came from federal grants. The county was stuck with a very small portion of around $16,000. But again, we're becoming dependent on grants that are taxing other Americans as well as ourselves to keep Bonner County going. If we can start weaning off of these things that aren't a necessity for the county, we can start returning the country as well as our county to a more fiscally conservative tax base.
Real quick on the snowplow barn or garage, will we have an ongoing maintenance issue where we are now responsible for insurance and maintenance and repair and whatever else? So it will be our burden quickly.
Correct, yes. And it's a heated building that has a pretty good electrical load to maintain heat to melt the snow.
Utilities.
And so even if we get the grant to cover 95% of the initial cost, we're still stuck with the ongoing expenses of maintaining it.
All right. Asia, back to you with the idea of reducing the tax burden.
So my opponent didn't answer your question because the example of the aviation is one where once the airport is there, that's what actually funds that. And so it's not, it actually can result in reducing the tax burden for Bonner County residents, because one of the things, and this is something that just came up in today's meeting that he watched, the building itself actually will help maintain the equipment such that when we're talking about maintenance and repairs of the equipment, that cost should go down. And so it is actually a preventive measure that is being used. And the director that obtained that grant is preserving our tax dollars when it comes through maintenance from our budget by making sure that the equipment is housed such that breaking down and dealing with equipment in the winter is less. We see that as an issue with road and bridge as well. So actually, the decision that I made today to approve that grant request from the federal government actually does reduce the tax burden on Bonner County residents. The problem is that the federal government takes our money, and the way in which we get it back is through grants. So his answer on how do you reduce what we have wasn't answered. And so in terms of Bonner County reduction, the way you reduce it is you need to internally audit and find where we're leaking the money. And you have to have the education and the knowledge to be able to do that. And that's what I'm doing.
A quick question for both. We're up against our break. I'm late on it. But I'm interested in knowing if there's any kind of outsourcing, like having a snowplowing be outsourced rather than having a snowplow sitting in a barn during like this beautiful weather. And just outsourcing the snowplow is just a question for you guys to consider. All right, we're going to take that break. We will be right back.
Come and play this May and splash into winning at the Kootenai Casino. Don't miss our weekend bonus play, a deluxe kayak giveaway, and enjoy 24-hour gaming every Friday and Saturday. Plus, join us for a $10,000 Victoria Day and Memorial Day giveaways. Ready for a riverside getaway? Stay Sunday through Thursday from just $79 a night, or a Riverview room from just $99, and enjoy two breakfasts and a drink on us. Dine with us at the Springs Restaurant, where you can enjoy our famous prime rib, dry, aged, slow roasted, and served with a chef's signature rub. Available Fridays and Saturdays after 4 p.m. And unwind at the spa at Kootenai. Enjoy a 30-minute massage with a hydrating body wrap and express pedicure for $149. Or a hydrating body wrap and scalp ritual for just $69. All month long, enjoy your chance to win. Book your winning stay now by calling 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY for details, or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Water Heaters Unlimited is your local full-service dealer featuring the American-made Bradford Whitewater Heaters. From tankless upgrades to emergency repairs, keeping your home comfortable year-round. Proudly serving Bonner and Kootenai counties with convenient same-day service available. And right now, sign up for the free pontoon rental on Lake Ponderay with a boiler upgrade. Water Heaters Unlimited. More info at waterheatersunlimited.com. We warm up your day.
This Mother's Day, pamper your mom with a luxurious treatment from Highlands Day Spa. Voted best spa in North Idaho by the Inlander. Give her a rejuvenating massage, facial, mani and pedi, or a full body treatment. She deserves it. With locations in Post Falls and on Sherman Avenue in Coeur d'Alene, there's a Highlands Day Spa near you. Shop anytime at HighlandsDaySpa.com. Treating mom has never been easier. Make this the best Mother's Day ever.
With fire season around the corner, now's the time to take a hard look at your property. Acree Enterprises is a third-generation, locally-owned logging company helping North Idaho landowners reduce fire risk, improve forest health, and even generate income from their timber. We specialize in selective logging for 10 acres or more, not clear-cutting, so your land looks better when we're done. Honest work, real results. Call Ruben today for a free property walkthrough. More info, acreeforestry.com.
Welcome back to Pac-Man Hour. Our guest today is none other than Pac-Man himself. So, Pac-Man, tell me about your new Idaho Lottery scratch game. Fascinating. You don't say. And I hear you can win up to $50,000. I could talk to you all day about the new Idaho Lottery Pac-Man scratch game, but Pac-Man, I'm afraid we're out of time. Benefiting Idaho public schools and buildings. Must be 18 or older. Playwise. Pac-Man is registered and copyrighted by Bandai Namco Entertainment Incorporated.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome in. We've got it going on today for you with candidates Jeff Roberts and Asia Williams. They are competing for your vote in the May 19th primary to be the Republican nominee in the fall for the next term for county commissioner. I'm going to change, Jeff. I'm going to bring this first now question back to you. Do you believe that county government, in county government, providing medical care clinics for county employees exclusively?
No, I really strongly oppose to that. I think when we see government getting involved in healthcare at any level, county, state, or federally, it tends to become more bloated and less efficient. So with the idea of having this concierge clinic that the taxpayers have to pay for but that can't use it, and it'll be specifically for county employees and maybe some of the larger employers in the area, I think that's really just exceeding the boundaries of where county government should be. And the idea that it may save money, I think, is a noble one, and maybe it will, but we've seen so many examples of government expanding into these areas, and then the taxpayers are stuck with expanded government. And there's the saying that government that governs least governs best. And I think competing with the private sector and our local medical providers at the county level, I think she shoots herself in the foot.
All right. Thank you for that. Asia, same question to you.
I've heard this online that people are thinking that the PMR presentation was Bonner County owning a clinic, and it's a gross misunderstanding of what's happening in insurance. And so what is happening is we're trying to address how the county can reduce the cost to the taxpayer for insurance so that more of taxpayer money stays with the county and not with an insurance company. And what PMR presented was that some people put in a clinic, and the clinic is actually owned by, for example, if you went with PMR, it would be PMR Clinic, PMR Doctors. What you're trying to do is essentially create your own network. And so like Idaho Forest Group and Yokes have different versions of this. And so the questions that I'm asking when it comes to healthcare is, how do we help control the costs? I explained today that we pay $30,000 a month for three people for a particular medication. It's incumbent upon Bonner County commissioners to actually look at, are we getting the best for the money at the best cost? Because when we pay any benefit, which is owed, healthcare is owed, we're taking money out of the taxpayer. And so it's not a clinic in the way that I've seen people describe, and even the way that Mr. Roberts has described that was presented. That was a misunderstanding of what PMR was actually talking about. And so when you look at what Hagedorn and Kootenai County did, they combined their efforts to try and move people. It's a very complicated question for a limited amount of time, but what you're talking about is trying to give people an option to actually increase primary care. When you look at Panhandle Health, they equally want to look at this option, because what you're seeing is all of people are being pushed to critical illness because the cost of primary care is so high that we're losing that as an option. And so all that I'm doing is actually saying, let's have the discussion on what other options exist so that taxpayer money stays within the county. We get better health insurance. It's just an option that we need to consider. I have never considered, and I've seen this online, Commissioner Williams advocates for a mental illness clinic and a health clinic. I didn't advocate for anything. a company came and gave a presentation about information. And I absolutely believe it's important for people to not misrepresent things so that other companies will continue to come and give us information, because they came at their cost to share an idea with us. That's all it was.
My question, I have a follow-up question then to you, Jeff Roberts. If this is just something that is, clearly it's more complicated than we can understand, but why would we not just do some kind of prevention program? I have seen huge corporations that have talked about nutrition and exercise. It's all volunteer. And they have really made major strides against their insurance and their internal absenteeism costs. So, I mean, that's a new element I realize I'm introducing. But what are your thoughts about this as you've heard the explanation from Asia?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And that's something that I brought up at the Blanchard Forum. Having worked on some large federal projects for some big corporations, we were able to reduce our healthcare costs by bringing in nutritionists, doing counseling for people within the company who had issues either with, nicotine abuse or alcohol abuse, things like that. It's my philosophy that we keep government limited as much as possible, keep things in the private sector as much as possible, and put things on the individual for individual responsibility any time that you can, and just encourage more of that, taking individual responsibility for your health. And over time, that can have massive effects on your claims against your insurance and the overall health and well-being of your employees. And if I'm elected on May 19th and serve as a county commissioner, I'll be under the same health care plan that the county employees are on. So I really believe in keeping that limited and focusing on the individual as much as possible.
Any validity, Asia, in your mind with going to some sort of an interventional volunteer prevention program before considering the PMR options?
So just to be clear, that was one option. We've had five discussions with multiple different companies and ideas about it. And so your
it being it being
what to do about insurance. Okay. And so PMR was just one. The very next week we had another discussion. And so that's the problem with, I guess, social media, where something kind of takes grassroots. So, but
question
in terms
is,
of
what prevention?
That is actually one of the, that is one of the things that PMR actually focused on in their clinic that was built with Kootenai. And so the way some of the things that get built in terms of their examples, it's based on what you want. And the goal of myself, actually, even as a nurse, because I am a nurse, is we need preventive medicine, because if we don't do prevention, that's where we're getting our critical illness claims. And from a standpoint of risk, that's what has locked in Bonner County is, for example, we got five cancer claims. Could we have prevented that if people were not stuck with high deductibles such that they didn't go in? One of the clinics that I have as a great example is Dr. Duke in Hayden has Heart of Hope. Heart of Hope is a focus on preventive medicine, and that is a fantastic model. And to be clear, there were questions when a clinic opened with Hagedorn, even in Kootenai, was that competition, and it wasn't seen as competition. It actually pulled services into an area, and that's also part of the need of Bonner County, because we have a lack of some services, especially when it comes to women's care. And so we're looking at increasing the understanding of knowledge of having a primary care physician before we go to critical illness, because the current model in this nation is critical illness claims. And that is what actually is holding Bonner County's budget hostage right now, if you take a look at that. And so if I'm reelected as county commissioner, I'll continue to focus on that.
All right. Another question, keeping it with you, Asia, is there always seems to be a natural tension between planning and zoning and private property rights. What are the various points currently required for county commission, planning and zoning to address before there's even a recommendation from planning and zoning, and certainly before the commissioners would discuss and take a vote? I'm thinking of getting infrastructure in place, fire, sheriff, roads, everyone involved in making a comment, and the neighbors before we move forward with any kind of major or even minor development.
Are you asking me to explain to you the process of planning and development?
I'm asking you to plan. What are the various points of input before planning and zoning makes? For example, EMS, law enforcement.
So it's a I don't fully understand what your question is, but I'll answer. In terms of planning and zoning, you go in with an application for what your development is, and you're going to sit down with a planner, and they're going to give you some pointers. You can visit with them as much as you want, actually. And then if it needs to go to a planning commission or a zoning commission, it will go to either one. They'll review the application, and then they'll make a determination that gives a recommendation.
During the review and before they make a determination, do they talk to the sheriff, to the fire, to the roads, to EMS, to, you know, to any of those entities to see if they have an opinion?
So every time you put in an application, a notice goes to various groups to include fire for a comment, to include Panhandle Health. Do you have a comment, an issue, or concern about the development? That's part of the process of planning and zoning.
Okay. But they're not – planning and zoning does not actually bring them in. They just make it known, and if they want to volunteer on it. Okay. This maybe I, you know, got it my head wrong. What are your thoughts on the issue?
Well, yeah. So we've got some pretty good standardized protocols that we know need to be met before people can – perform their building or go into a subdivision. And so, for an example, like the Yeoman Bluff subdivision up by Priest Lake that keeps coming up before the board, having an egress 60 feet wide so you can get plow trucks in and fire trucks, things like that, they wanted a variance to shrink that down to 50 feet, making it much narrower. Same thing with setbacks for getting utilities through or fire prevention. Instead of being at 25 feet, pushing that back to 5 feet was the request, if I'm not mistaken. So these checklists are there for public safety and for sustainability and growth. And I think they're pretty important. I think maybe there's some times where there can be a variance given, but for the most part, they're there for the health and well-being of the county and the citizens. And I think they're a good thing to maintain. So keeping in mind what that infrastructure is going to need for developments, for homes, whether it's your road and bridge, your fire service, your plows, I think all of those are the factors that are being considered.
All right. We're up against another break. We're going to take it. It's our last break. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Panhandle Habitat for Humanity is building more than houses. They're building hope in North Idaho and will break ground this spring on two new homes, giving families in the community the stability and dignity they deserve. None of this is possible without you. Whether you donate, volunteer, or shop at the Habitat Restore, you're part of the solution. Every purchase, every gift, every hour of service opens new doors for families and neighbors in need. Together, we're building homes, hope, and a stronger Panhandle community.
It's time to move your fires outdoors. The Stove Corral reinvents your outdoor living space with a fire garden chat table, fire pit kit, or a fireplace the whole family will love. A fire garden features mesmerizing flames and customizable burners, whether gas, wood, or electric, and handcrafted in the USA. The Stove Corral will help you design your dream fire garden outdoors. Visit the showroom on McNerney Road just off Kootenai Cutoff. You are the heart of your home. Let the Stove Corral keep you warm.
You love your land, and you have plans for it. During Kubota Orange Days, you'll love the great deals on our versatile, reliable lineup, helping you turn dream projects into reality. Visit your Kubota dealer today for the best deals of the year. Now through June 30th, zero down and up to 84 months financing available, and save up to $5,500 off select compact tractors. Sale in soon. Stop by your local dealer or go to gokubota.com.
Visit adamstractor.com or swing by one of our five locations to find your Kubota today.
Upgrade your internet for less with our best offers ever. Get fast, reliable Vive Internet starting at just $35 a month, a price that's locked in. Includes all equipment and whole home Wi-Fi powered by Eero. But don't wait. These unbeatable offers won't last forever. Visit vivebroadband.com today to sign up. Offer ends 4/30/26, limited to new qualified residential customers. Certain installations, activation, taxes, and fees extra. Subject to data plan. Visit vivebroadband.com for all restrictions.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed, and he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about, realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. We have it going on here just for you with County Commissioner candidates on the May 19th primary, Asia Williams and Jeff Roberts. They're here so you can get to know them a little bit better, how they present themselves, and just kind of the way they view things. My next questions are not really under County Commissioner purview, so if you choose not to answer, you don't have to, but I'm interested in your opinion and your position. If you have one on, there are two initiatives that are going around Idaho right now gathering quite a few signatures. The first one is has to do with legalizing marijuana, and the second one is about changing the current pro-life or abortion balance in Idaho. So, Jeff, I'm going to go to you first, and what is your position or your opinion, if you're willing to share it, on the legalizing marijuana initiative, yes or no?
Definitely not. If you would have asked me 15 years ago, I probably would have said yes from a constitutional perspective, let people choose what they want to ingest and use in their bodies. But being a business owner over on the West Coast in states that have legalized it, and then being a landowner and having my family, watching what that does to the states, to the communities, to the culture, it's extremely destructive. Just to be able to get employees to be able to come to work that weren't high on marijuana or having their faculties impaired was very difficult. And then watching farmland get sold off immediately for the marijuana grow rush and to beat that economy, and then watch that land just get left after the economy died down. Seeing the crime increase in our communities when the traveling people that harvest that, and watching the rapes and the violence take place. I think making that legal for recreational use will ultimately lead to some pretty damaging effects in our culture.
Do you believe it can be limited to medical use without it ultimately, you know, the wedge in the door, it'll become recreational?
Right. I think that there's a possibility there. I think that there can be some medical use there that is much better than some of the pharmaceuticals that are available. And I think that's something that could be considered. But having it legalized at the recreational level was very, very detrimental to the communities that I lived in. And we saw a big increase in crime and a lot of difficulties as business owners in trying to, you know, curb that being utilized while people were on the clock.
All right, Asia, what's your position on legalizing marijuana?
So I believe that the recreational use does effectively show an increase in degrading your communities. And I think that it's important for us to maintain what we have here in Idaho. With respect to the medical use, I do think that there is value to the medical use, especially when it comes to elder patients and memory care, in terms of documented being able to address those issues. And then also with cancer patients, you see benefits with cancer patients and the use of marijuana. We have to remember that it's a plant like opioids, and if it's done in the correct way, it can actually be beneficial and reduce a dependency on other narcotic medications. But that comes from being on the side of medicine. But on the side of recreation, I do agree that that has shown a significant negative impact on communities. And there is that that kind of gateway, because that high makes you want to go higher and higher and higher. And then it's what's a different drug that can replace the drug that no longer has that impact, no different than pharmaceutical drugs, because pharmaceutical drugs have that same impact.
All right. Keeping it with you, Asia, should our current pro-life or abortion laws be changed according to the initiative, which as I understand it, it pretty much allows abortion for any reason at any time?
I don't support abortion for any reason at any time, so I don't believe that there should be amendment. I do believe that the way in which I was actually at the Republican conference when this was presented as what the position of the Republican Party was going to be, and I was in support of the way in which the Republican Party put forth the way in which we should be treating abortion in the state of Idaho. I believe that when you look at the number of deaths that you're seeing with mothers and babies, I personally believe that the abortion aspect and the way in which we are talking about life as no different than it's just an embryo is creating that lack of recognition that it's a life, and you're seeing an increase in crime against children, and they are our most defensible people. And so I absolutely don't support that. And I do think that the strong position that the majority of Idaho has taken needs to maintain that, because we need to preserve life and ensure that we continue to grow and develop, and not that we treat babies as nothing. And because there is no argument of when does it end. The idea of what impact it has on my life is it's an argument that doesn't make sense logically, because once the baby's born, there's still an impact to the family's life. I think that there are other options that we need to promote, and Bonner County specifically does promote those things. I'm not in support of something that encourages abortion.
All right. Thank you for that. And your opinion on changing the abortion law, Jeff Roberts.
Yeah, I agree with my opponent wholeheartedly. I believe that life begins at conception, that even in circumstances where it's difficult for potentially a mother or a family to raise a child, I don't believe murder is a viable solution to that. And with so many families that can't have children and that are looking for adoption, I really believe that having a robust avenue to make sure that those families can have children, that they're vetted, and that the mothers have that support where they don't feel completely overwhelmed, that, you know, killing their child is the only option that they have. I absolutely do not think we should go down that road of disregarding life, starting, again, it's a stepping stone where, well, at what point are you going to say it's okay to terminate the life of an infant? I don't believe that should ever be on the table. So I'm fundamentally opposed to legalizing abortion. And again, it leads to just an overall decay of the respect and sanctity of life.
All right. Well, we are getting close to the end here. I'm not sure I can get another question in for you. It's been really interesting to talk with both of you. I really appreciate your sharing freely your opinions and your comments. We do have time right now for you to take about 30 seconds or a little bit longer to say goodbye to the audience. And you can tell them how to contact you or ask for their vote, whatever you want to say. So, Asia, I'll start with you. Say goodbye to our audience, please.
Well, thank you for having me on your show and to Bonner County. As your current commissioner, I am asking to be reelected to continue the work on the budget to ensure that your tax money is being used appropriately so that we can improve your infrastructure. I think there is a big difference between myself and my opponent. I have communicated my focus on the things that actually dictate what a county commissioner must do. I don't talk to you about ideas. I'm giving you examples. I don't just do what I want to do. I bring the public in. I do town halls. I'm in the community. I hear the concerns. I respond to the public comments that are received. That's what Bonner County wanted in a commissioner. And in fact, if we lose that, that is actually a negative impact, because the progress that I have made needs to continue into the next years, especially when you're talking about risk insurance and litigation. And so my background as business, internal auditor, and a Six Sigma black belt are important for what is necessary to continue the progress of Bonner County.
Say goodbye to our audience, Jeff Roberts.
Well, I really appreciate having the opportunity to speak to you, Bonner County. Barbara, thanks for hosting again. I appreciate Asia coming today that we can have this discussion. I do think that you'll see a pretty big difference in just principles and philosophies on how we approach government, whether or not we believe we should expand government into some of the issues we talked about, healthcare, some of the federal grant money, ARPA, things like that, making land use decisions without public input and warning. It's really about values that you bring to a representative form of government, and that's what this is, an elected position of the people to represent them on that board of commissioners, and that's what I hope to bring. So check us out on Facebook, visit us online, Jeff Roberts for Bonner County. Hope to earn your vote on May 19th. Reach out. We're doing meet and greets and get-togethers all throughout the next month, and really just look forward to communicating more with the community, hearing what your guys' goals are and what you guys want to see.
All right, we're going to make that the last word. That's the program for today. A sincere thank you to Jeff Roberts, Asia Williams. And everybody come on back next week. I'll be talking with Roger Rudd, Spencer Hutchins, both seeking your vote to be Bonner County Clerk. You know it, America 250. I love America. I love our founding fathers. And I want to go back to John Jay. I kind of shortchanged him last week. He was a lawyer. He negotiated and was a signatory on the Treaty of Paris, which officially ended the American Revolution and formalized England's defeat. He helped write the important Federalist Papers to get our Constitution ratified. And he was the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. John Jay valued responsibility and stewardship, and he said, quote, "Here we have nothing to do but our duty." All right, that's it for today. I'm running out of time. Take care of everyone. Take care of each other, and may God bless America.